Mark chapter 6. And he went out from thence, and he came into his own country, and his disciples followed him. And when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue. And many hearing him were astonished, saying, "From whence hath this man these things? And what wisdom is this which is given unto him, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hands? Is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James, Joseph, and Judah, and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us?" And they were offended at him. Jesus said unto them, "A prophet is not without honor, but in his own country, and among his own kin, and in his own house. And he could there do no mighty works, save he laid hands on a few sick folk, and he healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief." So tonight we begin with Jesus leaving Capernaum and coming into Nazareth, his hometown. It's interesting because about a year earlier, Luke records that Jesus had come to the synagogue and he was handed a book. It was the book of Isaiah. And he chose to read from the book of Isaiah, chapter 61, verse 1 and 2. Though I'll read from his quote in Luke, and it's in chapter 4, verse 18 and 19. And Jesus read this: "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, and hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering the sight of the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." At that he had sat down and he spoke to them. He said, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." And they wondered at his teaching. But as he continued to speak, that wonder had turned to wrath, and they decided to thrust him out of the city, and they planned to carry him to the brow of the hill which the city was built upon, they might cast him down headlong, or in other words, to throw him off a cliff. So Nazareth, why go back? Jesus, I believe, is giving Nazareth another opportunity to hear his word, to believe, and to be saved. They were astonished at his teaching. Mark actually uses this word earlier in this book, in chapter 1 and verse 22. He says that they were astonished at his doctrine, that he had taught as one having authority, not as the scribes. And though they were astonished, it was short-lived. As the wheels started turning in their head, questions brewed, and they wondered where this man got these things. And these things were his wisdom and his mighty works. Nazareth wasn't a huge community. People were familiar with Jesus. They knew he wasn't formally taught in these things. So where did he get them? They wondered where he got his mighty works. They didn't deny the fact that he did mighty works. It's interesting because the Bible doesn't say that he did any mighty works in Nazareth. So perhaps they heard of the mighty things he had done in chapter 5, healing the man that was deemed possessed and living among the tombs. Perhaps it was the story of the woman who for many years had hemorrhaging that Jesus healed, and it was actually by her faith to just touch the hem of his garment. Or maybe it was the ruler's daughter who Jesus raised from the dead. Perhaps it was one of those that they had heard that they wondered where he was, where he had these mighty, where the source of these mighty powers were. It doesn't seem that they were attributing this wisdom or these miracles to God, and so they wondered. They knew Jesus. They knew where they watched him grow up. He lived there among them for 30 years. He was the carpenter's son, according to Matthew 13:55. And in our text, we see that he eventually became the carpenter. And so they were thinking, wait a sec. Is this not the carpenter? It's not a compliment that they're giving him. In fact, I believe it's that they're making a way to discredit the wisdom of his teaching and the mighty works performed by his hands. I think it's actually fascinating that Jesus, of all the professions he could have chose, he chose that of a carpenter. It's interesting because that word is where the word that we get technician, and it means to bring forth, to make, or to create an object. At the time, it was used of an artisan or a craftsman in wood and metal, stone, and even sculpture. He was a real craftsman. I actually serve here in part of our facility ministry, and I get to work with a lot of craftsmen. Someone accused me of being a craftsman the other night, and I had to tell him, no, that's not true. But there are so many wonderful craftsmen here at the church, and to watch them is amazing. They work with such precision, making sure every cut is perfect, the angles are right, attention to every detail. They know how to start and finish a job. Jesus is very similar, and his craft was his art. Jesus not only created things with wood. In John 1:1, it says that he created the heavens and the earth. He created you and I. And God is a builder. And it's neat because he doesn't want to leave us that way. He actually wants to make us new creations. His workmanship, Ephesians 2:10 says, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. God knows how to complete the job. In fact, he's faithful to do so. Philippians 1:6 says that he is faithful to complete the work he began in us until the day of Christ Jesus. It's actually unfortunate, though, for the folks in Nazareth. They looked at Jesus with natural eyes. If you'll turn with me to 1 Corinthians 2, verse 14, I'd like to read a passage to you. It says, "But the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." And so they looked at Jesus with natural eyes. And so the next thing that they turn to, in verse 3, it says, "Is this not the carpenter?" They go a step further. "Is this not the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph and Judah and Simon? And are these not his sisters with us?" It's interesting because Jesus had siblings. Mary had other children. And the fact that these people, the people of Nazareth, were so acquainted with Jesus' family, having known them a long time, caused them to look down upon him. Familiarity brought contempt. There in verse 3, at the very end, it says, "And they were offended at him." It brought them, the fact that they knew him so well, it brought them to the point where they were offended by him. And that is that they allowed themselves to be ensnared by the sin of unbelief. And at that, Jesus replied, verse 4, "And Jesus said unto them, A prophet is not without honor, but in his own country and among his own kin and in his own house." The consequence was at verse 5, "and that he could do no mighty work, save that he laid hands upon a few sick folk and he healed them." I think it's important to point out that Jesus could do no miracles because he would not. He physically was able, but morally he chose not to. Matthew writes that he did not do many works or many miracles, there because of their lack of faith. And so it was their lack of faith that Jesus was strained doing wonderful things in their lives. In fact, here in our text, it says that he marveled at their unbelief. This passage, this word, marvel, is actually only found in two places. In both times, it's regarding or in faith. In one case, in this passage, the lack of faith. In the other, it was concerning a Gentile centurion soldier. In Matthew 8:10, it tells a story of this man. He urged Jesus to just say the word and his servant would be healed. And Jesus said in verse 10, when Jesus heard it, he marveled. And he said to them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great a faith, no, not in Israel. How wonderful it is to amaze God with the extent of one's faith. But on the other hand, how terrifying it is to amaze God with one's unbelief. Kind of looking over this passage, I feel the sense of the challenge of Jesus preaching wisdom. And we really can respond in one of two ways. One, we can respond to the word of God in faith and in obedience. Or we could respond like the townsfolk in unbelief, and we can also be offended by him. To be ensnared by the sin of unbelief. Concerning his mighty works, when we hear of how God has worked and changed people's lives, we can respond to Jesus in faith, or we can find ways to discredit it. Concerning the carpenter, will you allow him to make you a new creation, his workmanship, his poema, or will we look upon him with natural eyes? Tonight, will Jesus marvel at our faith, or will he marvel at our unbelief? Let's pray.